This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching and teaching through the Gospel of John. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
This next Sunday is Easter Sunday, the day when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Almost 2,000 years ago, on this coming Friday, Jesus was crucified. He died and was buried for a few hours on Friday and all day Saturday, and perhaps half a day on Sunday. 3 days he was in the tomb, and then the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we say he is risen. And this is a holy day for the church. It is celebrated around the world. But there's one part of that celebration that is most important. It's essential to see the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and say he was crucified, placed in the tomb, and raised from the dead for me. For me he died, and for me he lives. We don't observe the ministry of Jesus Christ from a distance. And we don't examine Jesus Christ in theory. It's very personal. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We understand that when he died for me. We know that when he arose for me. And this is not being selfish or self-centered to speak of Jesus Christ in this manner, because we understand he ministered for others as well, and we rejoice with them. But it is essential to observe the ministry of Jesus Christ in a very personal way. He in my place, he for my sins, he for my forgiveness, he for my salvation. Seeing Jesus Christ as simply a great religious leader does not benefit you. But trusting in him as your Savior benefits and blesses you with life forever. But there's something else about the death, burial, and resurrection that Jesus Christ wants us to know about. And that is that the whole of his ministry was accomplished voluntarily. He was in control. He is and was expressing his love. He was fulfilling the will of his Father, accomplishing the divine purpose. He was glorifying God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was glorifying God in his incarnation, in his life, and in his ministry, and in his death. Because our salvation is not only about us, but it's also about God. It's mainly about God. The whole of our salvation is traceable to him. He's the one who arranged the plan of salvation. He's the one who sent Jesus Christ to accomplish the plan of our salvation. And he's the one who also sent the Holy Spirit to apply that plan to our hearts and lives. All of this is traceable to the work of God alone and for the glory of God alone. And he blesses us in such a way that he is glorified. He blesses us in such a way that we see his glory and worship him. And this is the reason why Jesus Christ reveals things that we would never understand were it not for the fact that he tells us. He wants us to see that his work was not the result of what sinful men did to him, but was the consequence of what he was doing for sinful men. He gave himself. He laid his life down as the good shepherd. He laid his life down for the sheep. They did not take his life. He laid it down. And when you see the voluntary action of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see his love. And you also see that which causes you to glorify him. You see his action. And that's a wonderful truth he wants you to see in this passage. So turn with me and look at John chapter 10. And again, Jesus Christ is making in John's Gospel the great I Am statements. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Jesus came giving this message, and the Jews were to receive him as the Messiah, to see the signs and wonders, to hear his teaching, but they did not understand, and they did not receive him, and they rejected him. So Jesus Christ then goes to heal the blind man and shows that in order for the blindness of man to be overcome, it must involve the ministry of Jesus Christ to open the eyes so that we see. In John chapter 10, he speaks of being the good shepherd. And it's interesting, as you look at John chapter 10, it's really a contrast to his ministry. Because when you look at the ministry, you see wayward sheep, and they're not responding very well. And then Jesus Christ talks about what he is doing as the good shepherd. And in a sense, he's opening our eyes to see a very special ministry that he is performing so that we will worship him, so that we will glory in all that he is accomplishing on our behalf. So he speaks of caring for the sheep in verses 11 through 13. He speaks of the knowledge of the sheep that he possesses and therefore the knowledge that they have of him as well in John chapter 14, in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. But in verses 17 and 18, he finishes this section emphasizing the relationship between the Father and the Son, and once again emphasizing that which he is accomplishing voluntarily. Notice the statement. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. This beginning statement, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. You might read this statement and think that perhaps this is saying that this is the primary reason or the great reason why the Father loves the Son. And when you look at the relationship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you see that there is unconditional and conditional love, so to speak, in the Godhead. Because God is perfect, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father can look at the Son and say, I love the Son from my own heart, unconditionally. But he can look at the Son, because the Son is fully God, perfect God, and say, I love you for all that you are. It's a unique kind of love that God possesses in the Godhead. He can love unconditionally. He can love conditionally. He can love because of the love in his heart. He can love because of what he sees in the Father, sees in the Son, the Father sees in the Holy Spirit, and all Father, Son, and Spirit see in one another. And this love is enormous. It is perfect. It is never failing. It is never ending. It is perfect. So when he makes this statement, therefore my Father loves me, it's indicating this is one of the ways and one of the reasons for the Father's love for the Son. And it's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. And the Father loves the Son when he sees the Son's submission to him and obedience to him. That's why he says, Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And this is having a special glimpse inside of the heart of God. You say, well, why would God give us a special glimpse into his heart? And the answer to that is so that we may know him and so that we may worship him. When you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, he appears as one who is really controlled by the multitudes. He comes and he speaks the truth, and they listen. They are impressed with his authority. They see his miracles. They don't fully understand them, but they're somewhat impressed. But in the end, they really reject him. And it seems as if things are not going well in the whole of this ministry. And then he's going to be taken and he's going to be nailed to the cross and crucified and killed. And if you simply look at his life in terms of the events that take place, it appears that people are in control of him, not that he is in control of what he is doing. That's why John chapter 10 is such a wonderful passage. Because it turns the picture all the way around and it says, no, it is God who is in control of what is taking place. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's the good one, the excellent shepherd. And he knows his sheep. And he loves his sheep. And he lays his life down, speaking of his crucifixion, and he has the authority to take his life up again, speaking of the resurrection. And all of that he is doing. We can point to the human instruments by which these things take place. But Jesus Christ is saying, the Father loves me because I come to do this ministry that he has set out before me. God's purpose was for Jesus Christ to come and to suffer and die upon the cross from eternity past. And God loves the Son because the Son embraces this ministry. It's as if you can think that the Son hears the Father say, this is the ministry that you are to do, and he sees the mission and he loves to go. He loves to go. And in this you see his submission and his obedience. And from his standpoint, he sees the wisdom of God and the wonder of God and the amazing confidence that we can have in God. And when you see, you know, that we are to have the knowledge of God, we have opportunity to see the knowledge of God when we look at this passage, because there are times, for example, when things happen that we don't understand. When a young person is hit by a car and killed. When things happen to us that are difficult and we cannot understand them. One of the wonderful things is to see in the text of Scripture that Jesus, the Father loves him because he submits and he honors the Father, but he submits and honors the Father because he sees that the Father is right and the Father's in control and the Father's accomplishing his purposes. And what the Father is telling him to do is what is great, is what is right, is what is true, is what is best. And so when the Father says, I want you to go and lay down your life for the sheep, Jesus Christ says, I'd love to. I'd love to, because he has great confidence in God. And to come to the knowledge of God is to see that about him. We can talk about the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God is biblical. It is sound truth that is a great blessing to us. But the sovereignty of God should bring us to our knees in saying, your ways are right. Your ways are true. Though I don't understand, I know that you are right. I know you are infinitely wise. You are infinitely good. And all of your ways for me are wise and good and right. Because the relationship that Jesus has with the Father is that relationship. And then the Son also, he sees the sheep. And he sees our need. And he says, I'd love to take care of them. That also is a truth that is hard for us to comprehend. Because we mentioned before, he knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our sinfulness. He knows how unacceptable we are to him and to God. He knows that our nature is in rebellion against God. He knows us. And he said, I'd love to. And again, what is needful when you look at this passage of Scripture is to put yourself in that position where Jesus Christ is looking at you and saying, I know you. I know your sin. I know your weaknesses. And Jesus Christ says, I love you. You're my sheep. And I'm going to provide for your salvation. And it's not going to be forced from me. I want you to know something. I lay my life down for you. I'm laying my life down for you. It's not being taken from me. I'm not being forced in this ministry, not forced by the Father, not forced by the people. I lay my life down for you. And when you see that, you see the wisdom of God and you see the love of God combined in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should bring us to worship God. To say thank you for loving me when I was not loving you. Thank you for loving me in all of my sinfulness, in all of my waywardness. Thank you that you loved me to lay your life down for me. So you see the love of Christ in this action. But you also see the control of Christ in this action. John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29 said, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The shepherd becomes a lamb. Interesting how this imagery changes around, but the shepherd becomes a lamb. He becomes the atoning sacrifice. The shepherd becomes a lamb to shepherd the sheep to a salvation and eternal life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And again, his death was not the mere consequence of human action. It was the fulfillment of God's purpose. And you see this when Jesus Christ is upon the cross. Because his death was supernatural. To be crucified is a horrible way to die. And a person who is nailed to the cross is going to die a slow death by torture. Jesus Christ was on the cross for 6 hours, from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. And at the end of that time, both John and Luke observed something very special about his death. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He gave up his spirit. Luke 23 and verse 46 says it this way. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Even when Jesus Christ is on the cross, he wants us to know that he laid down his life for us. His life was not snuffed out on the cross in an unwilling fashion. But Jesus Christ went to the cross. He bore our sins upon himself. He bore the wrath of God upon himself. And he came as this sacrifice, and he laid down his life for us. And he did something that we do not do when we die. We do not order our death. And we do not say, I'm now going to, and just say in terms of my own power, I'm now going to give my life to God. And then we drop dead. And we lose our life. But Jesus Christ, when he came to the end and he said, this atoning work, all that I've come to accomplishing in bearing the eternal wrath of God upon the eternal sinfulness of sinners and accomplishing their eternal salvation. It is finished. The work is finished. And now I lay myself down. And you see the voluntary action of God, but you see the sovereignty of God. And so when they came and they looked at Jesus Christ and they couldn't tell whether he was dead, so they threw the spear into his side They knew that he was dead, and then they didn't break his legs, because breaking the legs would produce immediate death, and that's what happened to the others that were crucified with Christ. But Jesus Christ had given himself, and he gave himself for you. And he says, please understand that. Because you'll understand the death, you'll understand your salvation in an even greater way if you understand that. And it will lead you to have great assurance about your salvation. It also will lead you to become a worshiper of God. So thankful that Jesus Christ would come and as the good shepherd looking at our need, he would lay himself down for us. And that's exactly what he was doing at the cross. That's exactly what he was doing in his death. But there's something else that you see in this passage. Because he's not only doing that in his death for you. He saw you. He laid himself down as the good shepherd because he saw that you were a wandering sheep in need and your sin and death needed to be resolved. And so he laid himself down for you as if you're the only one. And there are many of us, but as if you are the only one. He says, remember that when you remember me. When you worship me in the Lord's Supper, remember that. That his body was broken for you and he brought you into the new covenant. And he did this for you. He voluntarily did this for you. And Jesus Christ, though he suffered greatly, this was the act of love and this was the act of his giving to you and giving to me. But that's also true with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he says, no one takes it from me. I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. It's the picture of the shepherd in complete control of his death, in complete control of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well. And when you think of resurrection truth, you should be reminded of the fact that the resurrection is the working of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The triune God is involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, when Peter was talking to the council, he says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Speaking there of the Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. And the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. But the Scriptures also say that Jesus raised himself from the dead. That also is truth that is wrapped up in the God-man. Because though Jesus Christ died, His soul, His spirit went to heaven, but God is in heaven. God went to heaven. It's very difficult to speak of the death of Jesus Christ, but the death of Jesus Christ does not mean that God died. There's the separation of the body of Jesus Christ and the payment of our sins, and He experienced death as we experience death, but He is soul and spirit and God, and the God of Jesus Christ, the God-man, was given the authority and the permission to raise Himself from the dead. So Jesus Christ laid Himself down for you, and Jesus Christ raised Himself up for you. Both of those things He did for you. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're understanding that Jesus Christ is your Savior, but He's making you to understand that what He did was not what happened when things happened to Him. It's what He did for you, laying Himself down and raising Himself up. In John chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus was speaking with those who were talking about the temple, and He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And a few verses after that it says, but He was speaking with reference to the temple of His body. So I'm going to raise My body up. In John chapter 11, Jesus Christ said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." Another one of the great I am statements. "He who believes in Me, even if he dies, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." Do you believe this? He was speaking there with Martha, and it's this statement of the resurrection and life. He exists as resurrection and life. That truth exists in Him. So when it comes to His resurrection, He's the one who resurrected Himself from the dead. The Father resurrected Him from the dead. The Spirit resurrected Him from the dead. But He resurrected Himself from the dead as an expression of His love for you, as an expression of His submission and obedience to the Father. So there's the purity of love that is expressed by the Good Shepherd, which is why in John chapter 10 He opens up this door, so to speak, for us to see inside what God is doing, that we might have a greater appreciation of what He's done for us. You know, I recently observed a video presentation of the life of Martin Lloyd-Jones. And one of the things that impresses you about the life of Martin Lloyd-Jones, he died in 1981, I believe, one of the great preachers in England. But Martin Lloyd-Jones was an individual who was a great preacher, and he loved preaching, and he loved to pray. But one of the things that he emphasized in his own life, in his own Christian life, and in his own ministry, is knowing God. Knowing God. And God has given us the Scriptures that we know Him. And I look at knowing God, and I say, how well do I know God? How well do I understand Him? And the knowledge of God comes to us in the Scriptures. And when you have John chapter 10, you have an opportunity to know your God in a greater way. We are to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you have the opportunity to see Jesus Christ and to see Him come for you, give Himself willingly for you, raise Himself up willingly for you, because He wants you to know just how He cares for you, just how He provides for your salvation. So you truly look at this and say, this is indeed the working of God who saves. Salvation is of the Lord. It's what He accomplished for me. And you should look at this and say, He really loves me. He gave himself for me. He raised himself up for me. And the significance of the resurrection is that it signals the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death. So that sign of victory is most important for Jesus Christ to display. But it also promises that we will be raised from the dead. Because Jesus Christ is our representative, and he is our head, and he is appointed as God for such. So whatever happens to Jesus Christ will happen to us. Because he died, we died. Because he is raised, we shall be raised. And the hope of resurrection is the hope that he gives us. So when he was raised, he was saying, the victory has been won. You shall be raised from the dead. And there's another thing that is signified by the resurrection, and that is, and you shall walk in the newness of my life. The reason why we can live the Christian life is because we are walking in the victory of Christ. We are living in his life. And Jesus Christ was crucified, but the Apostle Paul says, he was crucified, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And we walk in the newness of that life. Look and say, well, the Good Shepherd really does care for us, doesn't he? He cares to save us. He cares to secure our resurrection. He cares to assure our Christian life that we walk in him and we walk in the blessing that he gives. All of this he wants us to know so that we say, well, I know him. Sometimes people, as we look at our lives and as we look at ourselves, we may look and we say, well, I don't know how God can love me. I don't know how God can love me because I try to live the Christian life and I fail often in living the Christian life and I'm faltering and failing and how can he love me? And I come back to this passage and I say, he loves me. He never gives up on me. He secured the blessings for me. He never stops. He's going to bring me to glory. I need to know him in this regard. And in the midst of all of the opposition of Jesus Christ, he speaks of the greatness of that which he does for us. And this is a glimpse into the heart of God, John chapter 10. A glimpse into the heart of God to see his love, to see his giving, to see his providing, to see his securing, to see his shepherding of the sheep. And you may think as you live your life, well, I'm just sort of wandering around. I don't really know what I'm doing. And the Lord says, I'm shepherding your life. I'm shepherding you. The Good Shepherd shepherds us until he brings us to glory, and he shepherds us through all eternity. You look at this last statement, and again, it's just he just cements it over and over again. But please note in this passage, there's a great deal of repetition. And he repeats, I lay down my life. 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 He says it five times. I lay it down. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. I've come to lay down my life. And again, my first reference when I look at this passage is to say, you're laying down your life for sinners like the Jews, the sinful Jews that were rejecting you and hostile to you. And then I look and I say, and you did that for me when I was sinful and hostile and rejecting you? He says, yes, I laid down my life for you. Verse 18 just concludes by just summarizing and saying, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I've received from my Father. And once again, Jesus Christ is pointing out that the work that he does is in perfect harmony with God the Father. John emphasizes this truth from beginning to end, that the ministry of Jesus Christ is as the Son of God. And he and the Father are one in the working of our salvation. It is all of God and all in harmony. If you have the Son, you have the Father. You have the Father, you have the Son. no way to the Son, to Father, except through the Son. And you have this statement that cements the relationship between the Father and the Son. He says, I have all of this because the Father has given me this command. This command he has given me. I have received from my Father. So the Father says, lay down your life and take it up again. I give the authority to do so. And Jesus Christ said, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. And he comes and he dies for us and secure our salvation. The love of God for us. We look at this and say, thank you, Father, for sending your Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for giving him the authority to carry out this ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing the command of the Father and coming and laying down your life and taking it up again. All for your glory. All for the glory of God. But also for our great blessing. For our eternal salvation. And when we read this passage, you'll notice the response in verse 19. There is a division among the Jews because of these sayings. There should be no division in our hearts because of these sayings. We should rejoice in him. Thank you, God, for the salvation that you give. That's why Jesus Christ says, in terms of what we're about to do in partaking of the Lord's Supper, he says, remember, always remember. Remember me. Remember me, because the whole of your salvation is focused on the one who comes and lays down his life for the sheep, that he may take it up again in victory over sin and death. What a great salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great encouragement it is for us to bow down before him and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and worship God the Father for that which he's accomplished for us, for so great a salvation. Our hope is fixed upon the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love. We know the scriptures say that we love you because you first loved us. We love you because you saved us. And you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down his life for us. And to take it up again. You authorized him. You gave him this command. And we're thankful that Jesus so willingly received this command. And because of his great love in shepherding his sheep, in taking care of our needs, he freely gave himself and freely took himself up again that we might live, that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life. So thank you, Father, for your great love. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the great love that you have granted and shown to us at the cross and at your resurrection. And Lord, we pray that you will bless us as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. May we always remember what you have done so freely for us. And may we be reminded that our hope and trust and our faith is fixed upon Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. Thank you for the blessings that you give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.